Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Kathy Martinez, Assistant Secretary of Labor for Disability Employment Policy within the U.S. Department of Labor. And joining us from IBM is Francis West. Kathy, how does your office foster the development and adoption of emerging accessible workplace technology so that all workers have the productivity tools they need to succeed? What are the specific challenges faced in this area?
Like I said, assistive technology is crucial. And like when accessible technology or when technology isn't accessible to those of us with disabilities, it really does exclude. For example, if online job applications and candidate screening tests aren't accessible, we can't even apply in the first place. If businesses buy and implement applications that aren't accessible, we can't really perform basic duties of our jobs, which really affect our ability to advance. So we get bad evaluations and then, you know, we quit. And this is why we launched our partnership on employment and accessible technology, which is called PEAT, which is kind of a multifaceted initiative working to advance, employment of folks with disabilities. And really it includes an information-rich website, a web portal. It's called peatworks.org, mm-hmm. and a tool called TechCheck. And that is an interactive tool to help employers assess and improve their tech accessibility practices. Online job applications is a really big focus for us right now. We're conducting a user survey to gather data on people's experience job searching and interviewing online. The results will be used to help galvanize tech providers and employers to offer more accessible options. So I would say the advent of AT, especially mobile technology, is creating, you know, a lot of great opportunities for some of us. And the iPhone is an example of a very accessible piece of equipment. And so we want to just keep our partnerships with employers strong and with developers, you know, make sure that the message is out there that if you develop and purchase accessible technologies, more people can work and pay taxes.
So in terms of a new technology, the social media is changing how we engage. Would you outline social media accessibility barriers and what is being done to identify new solutions for ensuring these digital services can be used by everyone?
Well, as you know, social media is becoming more and more integral to employment. And organizations are using it to conduct outreach, recruit job candidates, and enhance workplace productivity. But not all social media content is accessible to people with certain types of disabilities. So that really limits the reach and effectiveness of those platforms. So earlier I mentioned partnerships, and the Office of Disability Employment Policy's collaboration with our GSA, which I think is General Services Administration, is a great example of a fruitful partnership. We worked with them to launch a social media accessibility working group, which is collecting best practices that government agencies, companies, and folks, and of, you know, anywhere can use to ensure that their social media content is accessible to all who need it. An outcome of this partnership is an online toolkit called Improving the Accessibility of Social Media in Government. And among other information, this toolkit features tips on making Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube content accessible. So for us, it's been a fun experiment because more and more when we approach folks about accessibility, and this includes, you know, folks in the federal government and software developers, people are really interested. I think they're becoming more and more interested in making it work and figuring out solutions.
So there is a lot of talk about the Section 503 regulation. Can you give us your perspective on the on this particular regulation, and specifically, how would you suggest organization address topics such as self-identification?
Oh, that's the tough topic. Well, for your listeners who aren't aware of what Section 503 is, it's a section of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, and it requires federal contractors to basically not discriminate on the basis of disability and to take affirmative action steps to employ qualified folks with disabilities. So it was updated and strengthened in the last year in 2014, and it includes a 7% utilization goal. It also requires that employers invite applicants are asked to self-identify at what is it called, pre-offer, post-hire, or pre- and post-offer stages. So employees, you know, are given the opportunity to say if they have a disability. And I think it's been hard for companies because it's scary to self-identify, you know, if you don't have an evident disability. Because, again, disability is seen as something that isn't so positive. What I have felt and found in working, you know, in the federal government and with specific companies is that the more people self-identify or the more people that employees see kind of on campus, quote unquote, you know, I think the more comfortable people feel self-identifying as a person with a disability. Now, I know that in the private sector, employee resource groups have been very helpful. I know in some companies, the LGBT ERG or employee resource group has worked with the disability resource group to kind of develop campaigns to encourage people to self-identify based kind of on pride, kind of like, you know, the LGBT community in some companies has gotten people to come out of the closet, quote unquote, because of pride. I think we have a lot to learn from the LGBT community. The disability community has basically been kind of a policy-based movement, and the LGBT movement has been more of a market-based movement. And I think as people see us as a market, as we are working and have better purchasing power, and as we age again, age into our disabilities, you know, I think companies are seeing that our market share is huge. And I also think that if the leadership of companies talks about their own personal experience with disability, sometimes that can kind of entice or encourage people to self-identify. But I think companies are still figuring that out. And again, when people see a person with a disability or when people have a person with a disability in their midst, and they see that, you know, we can contribute and we're, you know, just like other people. We have our good days and our bad days. But I think people's fear gets reduced and I think it's easier for folks to come out. I mean, it's terrifying to be the only one in any kind of an environment. So, you know, if you are somebody with a history of mental illness, and I think, you know, there's still a lot of discrimination around non-evident disabilities, it's terrifying. And so I think the more people that come out, the more people will come out.
So, Kathy, I have a two-pronged question. You mentioned businesses, corporations. I like to talk about small businesses. How are you folks working with small businesses to get them be more inclusive? And more particularly, how does the Add Us In initiative factor into that? And then also on the other side is, how are you making the federal government more like a model employer for disabilities?
Well, okay, let's talk about small business. Add Us In is a project that we started in 2010, and it's literally the words Add Us In. It's completely focused on small business, and it's a pilot grant program started, like I said, in 2010 that specifically the whole goal is to identify sustainable strategies for small businesses because, you know, they don't have huge HR departments to handle things. So we've been able to work with various chambers of commerce, including National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the Women's Chambers of Commerce, you know, to say, look, In all your populations, there's folks with disabilities. Disability crosses every, you know, every economic class, gender line. And so this is a population that we'd like to see you integrate into your businesses. So we've got 8 test sites all over the country, working with various types of business and various chambers, because we really believe that the chambers would need to take a significant role. Because the businesses, again, they listen to their peers. And so we don't want to be the only evangelizers. We really want other small businesses who have actually successfully hired people with disabilities to be the drivers of this message and the chambers that represent them.
And the second part of my question was, how are you making the federal government a model employee?
The president signed an executive order in 2010, and I guess 2010 was a big year for the federal government. And basically, he said that we are going to hold folks accountable. And big agencies had to develop plans, and we had to, put them on our website. And then, the Office of Personnel Management looks at our numbers. Again, we actually started measuring. And so that has made a big difference in the federal government. And we're doing better. Our numbers are going up. We are hiring people. And we're actually hiring people not just in entry-level jobs, which I think is really critical. We're getting more folks in higher-level jobs, including the senior executive service. So I don't know the exact numbers. I know that there was just a report that came out from OPM that was very positive. And I think, I think if the government is going to regulate and tell folks what to do, we've got to walk the walk as well.
So, Kathy, in the interest of your time, I want to actually close the conversation if we can today. What advice would you give someone who is considering a career in public service?
I think, for me, the last 5 years of my career in public service have been an amazing experience. I think there's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of opportunities for growth. I know that in the next few years, many government workers are going to be retiring. So this is a good field to go in. I think, that government is learning from the private sector about how to do things more effectively and efficiently. And I think it's really a good time to go into public service. Like I said, there's a lot of different opportunities. There's jobs in every imaginable category. And I think there will be more and more jobs as folks retire. So it's a good place to go. And there's a lot to learn, I think. And I think for people with disabilities, given that there is an emphasis on including people with disabilities as part of the overall diversity of the federal government, there's a lot of opportunities.
And Kathy, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join Francis and I today. But more importantly, Francis and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, thank you. And I would just want to again give a shout out to IBM for the good work it's done in realizing that people with disabilities can be woven to the workforce. So thank you all.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Kathy Martinez, Assistant Secretary of Labor for Disability Employment Policy within the U.S. Department of Labor. My co-host from IBM has been Francis West. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.